Gary Zimek. It's great to be with you for another week of the show. Today, we are going to be, well, actually all this week, we're going to be celebrating Catholic Schools Week. We'll tell you more about that and what's happening throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia as we go on in the show. Why don't we kick it off today with our prayer, St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning into the show. It's great to be back here with you for another week of the program. Coming up later on today's show, Dr. Kevin Vost will be paying us a return visit. We're going to continue our discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be coming up at about 7:35 today. We also have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse at 7:50. But most importantly, we have with us Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey,
good morning,
brother.
Everyone out there. How are you?
It's so good to see you back in the studio today.
It's great to be back, Gary.
Now, Frank and I, we held down the fort on Friday, a special two-hour broadcast.
Yes.
We did.
How'd that go?
Well, it wasn't the same without you, but we got through it. We had a lot of reports from people who were on the March for Life. And Dave, I have to ask you, this was your first March for Life. What'd you think?
Oh, it was just incredible. Phenomenal. Words hardly describe how beautiful it was to see the sea of humanity, of like-minded folks, Christians, Catholic, and others, all pro-life people, and probably meant other, you know, religious people, not Catholic, not Christian, who may have been there. But I, you know, all kinds of banners. It was phenomenal, Gare.
Take us through the experience. So you took the bus down there.
The bus down, yes. Went well.
You prayed on the bus.
Cool. Got on at St. Francis Cabrini, but we had people, like, to give a shout-out to all the folks that were on the bus, and especially Jean Madden, who was our bus commander, I call her.
Wow.
she's our music director at Cabrini, but we had people from Lady of Grace, Ignatius of Antioch, others. So the bus trip went well. And again, everybody was excited, and I did come on. I was able. We had a few connection problems, here.
Right. We connected with you one time, and
And I was going to come. I was looking forward to coming on the second time towards the end of the segment, the last segment, and I was asked to lead the rosary on the bus.
Nice.
So
nice.
I was blessed to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And it went well. And yeah, then as we were rolling down 95 and, you know, made a stop at one of the rests, and then as we got into D.C., everything went well. The weather was perfect.
Yeah.
Weather was perfect. A little chilly, but it is January.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Still January.
Yeah. That's right.
So, oh, it was just awesome. And then basically, once the bus got, it made one stop for those folks who couldn't walk as far or didn't want to walk as far due to maybe some physical things and other things. And then we went on to our destination, our second destination, where we all disembarked the bus, and it was in the midst of this sea of humanity.
Mm.
Wow. And we all got out and kind of got our bearings.
Right.
And then, as I say, we walked to we all intended to kind of stay together as a group.
Sure.
We crossed the first street at 15th and Constitution, and people got melded into the mass of humanity. Mm. Some people wanted to go to the monument where the vice president and Kellyanne Conway and the guests were speaking.
Right.
And so some wanted to go that way. So everyone kind of went their own way. Some had been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I hadn't, but I was just taking it all in.
Yeah.
And then we got some information that the contingent from the Archdiocese, as led by the bishop, basically, we're going to come back at a certain time at 15th and Constitution on one of the corners, mm-hmm. and the seminarians were going to have a banner. So that's how we would know where to congregate.
Right.
Well, you know, this is real life, and it didn't all happen that way because of the sea of humanity and crush at that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but finally, the folks I was with, we kind of got it. Well, we stayed on this one corner waiting, and all of a sudden the seminarians came parading up through, you know, through the mass, the crowd, sorry, and basically with us, and we just followed them into the march onto Constitution. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm still excited.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you for listening.
so you listened to the speeches.
As best we could.
As best you could, which were incredible. I was able to watch them at home, and I know we broadcast them on the station. Powerful speeches. And then after that, the march itself begins.
Exactly.
Right? What was the feeling? Is it... I sense a feeling of optimism.
Oh, optimism. Optimistic feeling, change in this huge movement is taking place.
Right.
People were upbeat, saying this... You know, we're on this momentum is phenomenal, and change is really going to occur. We are going to have an impact, even more so, and it's growing. The inertia. So keep the momentum going.
That's the key.
That's the key. Now, guess what? I know one of the call you called Liz Ann, Marie Joseph.
We called Marie Joseph as well. Yes.
Yes, and here I am amongst in this sea of humanity. I look over to my left about, you know, three feet.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, Marie, you know, and she goes, Dave, and we kind of hugged, and we talked and walked, and then again, it was like an accordion effect of the crowd.
Right.
Sometimes it surges, sometimes it expands.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful. But then we shared a lot. I introduced her to some of the people I was walking with and all that.
Right.
As we were talking about the Legacy of Life organization.
Nice.
And it was just beautiful.
Nice. And I would encourage anyone who has not been on the march, really give it some serious thought for next year.
Oh, yeah.
That's
absolutely
why I really wanted you to share as a first-time participant. Mm-hmm. Would you go back?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the weather, and thank you, Lord, the weather was perfect. And I wouldn't, you know, no one wants a snowmageddon like last year. And everyone was saying, oh, this is such good weather. I was here last year, you know, and, you know, because of snowmageddon, it just kind of got, you know, it was dampened.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Here's one thing. This is what I found out. The first, you remember going when the group, I'm trying to think, was it St. Mary's from up in the Dakotas, North Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
They were asked, they got stuck on the PA Turnpike going west.
Oh, yes.
And they built that snow altar and had mass.
That was a powerful story.
They were asked to lead the march.
Oh, isn't that nice?
That's what I learned. So, nice. I mean, I have all these little tidbits, but it was fantastic, Gary.
Well, I'm so glad you went, and I hope, if you're listening and you're on the fence about next year, please consider it. It is important. And I'm so glad that Dave was able to share that with
and
us.
And one thing, thank you, Gary, for saying next year. Everybody aim for next year. But the coming year, we need to get more involved. I am so enthused to get more involved. So I'll leave it at that.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because I'm specifically talking about the March for Life. But one of the things that I felt the Holy Spirit was laying on my heart was that we're going to get some people involved, maybe talk to some of the individuals who are participating in the march. I want to get Teresa Tomeo back on the show. I want to reach out to Jeannie Mancini, Father Pavone, and to ask them, okay, what do we do now? Because we want to keep that momentum going. So, Dave, thank you for setting that up, because I feel the same
thing.
Thank
you, Gare.
You're going to hear more about that and why it's important for us to stand up for life on Spirit in the Morning. We will make sure to bring that to you. But right now, let's take a look at today's gospel. It's a little bit lengthier, so let's take a look at it now, then we'll talk about it. It's from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." And he asked him, "What is your name?" The man replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside. And they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swine herds ran away and reported the incident to the town and throughout the countryside. And people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. Now, boy, there is a lot going on in this gospel today. I want to highlight one thing that I really feel is the message that, at least it's the message that spoke to me. Here we have a man possessed by a demon. Jesus heals the man. He drives the demon out of the man, and the demon enters into the swine, and what happens? The swine are killed because they enter into the swine, and all of a sudden, the swine are drowned. They rush into the sea. They're drowned. The people are upset that Jesus did that. Why? Because the swine, the pigs, that's how they made their living. In this land, they made their living from these pigs. So they overlooked the fact that Jesus healed a man of a demon, and they were more concerned about the money that was lost because the pigs were drowned. Dave, yesterday in our gospel from Sunday's Mass, we listened to the Beatitudes. They are very famous. The Beatitudes essentially are a guide to discipleship. If I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, this is how I should live my life. The very first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Spiritual poverty, what it means is that we are called to be detached from possessions and to recognize that any possession is given to us by God. I think this example in the gospel today of the people becoming so upset with what Jesus did because it might cause them to lose money is something that's relevant for each one of us. How many times does that happen to us? How many times do we, when it's time for an election, do we vote strictly based on how's this going to impact me financially? There's a tendency there in our lives for all of us to not trust God as much as we trust money.
Yes.
And right? I mean, so...
Yes. That's a reality of the world that we live in.
So what I would say today is just ask yourself, am I detached from my possessions? Possessions, they're not wrong. It's not wrong to own things, to have property. It's okay. But once they become your security, then that's a problem. Are you making sure that you really put your security in the Lord? Do you turn to him in prayer? Do you turn to him with all of your needs? Do you put him first? If so, that's good. But make sure your priorities aren't twisted the other way around, because it's something that I really look at in my own life every day. And I realize that oftentimes I am putting more security in things than I am in the Lord.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
It's a balancing act,
yes. But we should always come down on trust the Lord to take care of us.
Right, even when it might not make sense. So
exactly.
If you're facing a financial problem right now, if you have some sort of a health issue, do you believe that the Lord's really got your back still? If you're struggling with that, ask him for help and get to know him better, because the more you see what he can do in your life, the more you will relax. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse at 7:50 addresses that exact point. So I can't wait to share that with you. Stay tuned. Coming up in the program, we're going to talk about Catholic Schools Week when we come back from the break. After that, Dr. Kevin Vost will continue our journey through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've got great music for you today. We got lots more. Stick around. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back in just a couple of minutes. I'm Gary Zimak along with Dave Parker. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Your time right now, 7:14.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 30th. Today we celebrate Blessed Mary Angela Turkowska. Today we honor a woman who submitted to God's will throughout her life, a life filled with pain and suffering. Born in 1825 in central Poland and baptized Sophia, she contracted tuberculosis as a young girl. The forced period of convalescence gave her ample time for reflection. Sophia felt called to serve God by working with the poor, including street children and the elderly homeless in Warsaw's slums. In time, her cousin joined her in the work. In 1855, the two women made private vows and consecrated themselves to the Blessed Mother. New followers emerged. Within 2 years, they formed a new congregation, which came to be known as the Felician Sisters. Their numbers grew, so did their work, and so did the pressures on Mother Angela, the new name Sophia took in religious life. Mother Angela served as superior for many years until ill health forced her to resign at the age of 44. She watched the order grow and expand, including missions to the United States among the sons and daughters of Polish immigrants. Mother Angela died in 1899 and was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1993. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. To walk. cast that special place that you've been dreaming of leads you to a lonely place. Find your strength in love.
That was The Greatest Love of All by George Benson. I'm Gary Zimak, joined in the studio by Dave Parker and our Director of Operations, Frank Eliason. Hey, Frank, that's a special request from you.
I try never to request songs, but I thought in Catholic Schools Week, what a song to play.
Yeah, now talk about this. Now, of course, Catholic Schools Week kicked off yesterday. It's a national celebration, and the theme this year is Catholic Schools, Communities of Faith, Knowledge, and Service. Of course, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we're celebrating it. Talk a little bit about what that song means to you and why you were inspired to play it.
Sure. Greatest Love of All. In 1986, I was graduating from eighth grade in Our Lady of Good Counsel in Southampton, Pennsylvania. And
woo-hoo! You know,
that was woohoo. And that was the song. We actually sang it as a class for the graduation ceremony. So anytime I think of Catholic schools, I actually think of that, and if you think through the words of that song and what it says for children,
right?
You know, it's incredible, and so to me, it is extraordinarily special. And as I was thinking through Catholic Schools Week, I kept coming back to that song, and so that's what made the request. And I thank you for fulfilling that. You know,
the great George Benson, no?
Yes,
yeah. It was a different version. I actually never heard that version until now. So
that was the original version of the song.
It was incredible.
So you went to grade school at Our Lady of Good Counsel.
That is correct.
You went to high school at Archbishop Wood.
That is correct.
Okay.
Class of 1990, the last class before it went co-ed.
Wow. Okay.
Well, now, I was a graduate of Maternity BVM grade school in Northeast Philly. That's where I went to grade school. And I'm an Archbishop Ryan grad.
Okay.
Also in Northeast. You know, when you talk about Catholic Schools Week, I remember so many of the great experiences that I had. Now, I wasn't always receptive to the message, I'm going to be totally honest.
Were any of us at that age?
No.
You know, my kids are celebrating right now because they don't have to wear uniforms this week, except for Friday because of Mass.
Yes.
And I sat there going, wait a second. We always had to wear uniforms, and your uniforms are a polo shirt.
Yeah.
I had to wear a shirt and tie every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you think that's bad? I had a sport coat and tie when I first started.
I didn't
have
sport coats.
Well, I'm old.
Guess what, guys? I didn't wear any uniform. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I didn't go to Catholic school in Erie, PA. I went to public school, which was not bad, but I would always see my friends who were Catholic and my age getting, you know, in this tie and stuff. And like, why are you getting so dressed up? You know, I would be thinking
I actually think there's huge benefits to that now looking back.
Right.
That I don't think we always have a respect for. So, you know, I actually wish they would return to some of that. I'm sure the kids would not like
to hear me say
that.
Oh, I bet your kids are going to love to hear you say that.
Exactly.
No!
Although my youngest
right now, they're putting their uniforms, they're hiding them.
My youngest one actually has the jumper and the blouse, and so, whereas my older one, she has the skirt and the polo shirt.
Yes.
And so my younger one actually does prefer the blouse and the jumper,
interesting.
You know, the more formalized approach. And so I think it would be interesting for them to see what it was like. But, you know, I loved Catholic education. I think, you know, I found teachers who are extraordinarily dedicated to their students.
Right.
You know, the sacrifices the parents make to send their kids to Catholic school.
Yes.
Now, when I actually went to Catholic grade school for a number of years, tuition was actually paid for by the church.
Right.
Now, that changed the latter portion of that. And so people are making huge sacrifices to put their kids into Catholic school because they want them to have that religious education.
Yes. That's right.
I think the Catholic Schools Week is a great way to, acknowledge those parents for making that sacrifice. But I think it would also be great to encourage people to go visit the Catholic schools in their area to see what it's about. You know, there is a huge sense of community in these schools, and you can walk in and feel it immediately.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
we have one in Levittown area, Holy Family Catholic Regional School. And, so it's big in our area.
And I also want to highlight, Frank, you're talking about sacrifices of the parents. The teachers are making some big sacrifices, too, because when you compare the salaries of Catholic school teachers with public school teachers, there's no comparison.
Exactly.
They're there because they want to be there.
They want to be there. That being said, it doesn't mean that they don't have all the different capabilities. So one of the things, there's an article this past weekend in the Intelligencer, and it talked a lot about the technology that these schools are utilizing. So you may think, oh, they don't have the funds, so they're not putting as much towards it. No, they are. You know, they have the Chromebooks in the classrooms. They are doing the, you know, e-learning capabilities, and they're bringing in that new age of thinking, but they're doing so with faith.
Right. If we go back to Liz Ann Pando when we were at St. Hubert, she was talking about how progressive or evolutionary their curricula is getting.
Yeah, so it is top-notch. And while I have a minute, I just want to highlight a couple of the events that are taking place. Throughout the week, we're going to be doing this. This is from the Archdiocese, and we'll have a link to this at spiritinthemorning.com so you can keep up with all of the events taking place at Catholic schools. The Keystone event for Catholic Schools Week will actually be taking place on Thursday when our own Archbishop Charles Chaput will host this Keystone event, and he'll be making an announcement regarding a historic partnership between the 17 Archdiocesan high schools and Catholic Relief Services. That's going to be taking place on Thursday at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary Ceremony. I'm trying to get all this in and I'm messing
faster,
up.
Faster, Gary, faster.
But to highlight just a couple of the events that are taking place today. And again, check out spiritinthemorning.com for more information. Holy Trinity School at Stockholm and Osborne Avenues in Morrisville will be hosting an Academic Olympics. Bishop Shanahan High School in Downingtown will be having Eucharistic Adoration all day to celebrate Catholic Schools Week. So you can see there's all different kinds of activities. Saints Philip and James Catholic School in Exton will hold its annual Super Bowl of Caring Collection event. St. Aloysius Parish in Pottstown will be rolling out a Project Lead the Way program. And there is even more that you can find out about at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back from this break, Dr. Kevin Vost, and we're going to be talking gifts of the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Quebec Premier Philippe Couillard says there will be solidarity rallies across Quebec today following yesterday's shooting attack at a mosque in Quebec City. Six people were killed and another eight were wounded. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau calls the shooting a terrorist attack on Muslims. Two people have been taken into custody. U.S. officials have not yet released the names of the American service member killed and three others wounded during a firefight with al-Qaeda militants in Yemen. Yesterday's raid left nearly 30 others dead, including about 14 militants. The U.S. has been striking al-Qaeda in Yemen from the air for more than 15 years, mostly using drones. Yesterday's surprise pre-dawn raid could signal a new escalation against extremist groups in the Arab world's poorest but strategically located country. The White House is calling President Donald Trump's immigration restrictions a massive success story, but there have been protests at airports across the country since Trump imposed temporary travel bans on people from seven Muslim-majority countries, including Syria, Iran, and Yemen. Several congressional Democrats have said they would be introducing legislation to stop the ban. Meanwhile, the U.S. bishops have voiced their opposition to the executive order. In a statement, they say today more than 65 million people around the world are forcibly displaced from their homes. Given this extraordinary level of suffering, the U.S. Catholic bishops will redouble their support for and efforts to protect all who flee persecution and violence as just one part of the perennial and global work of the church in this area of concern. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. As he drove through Mineral Wells, Texas, Jim Rhodes noticed many vacant buildings due to the shutdown of a military base. He said, "I always complain to God about things that bother me, so I asked him, why aren't these buildings being used to help the homeless?" Days later, a local newspaper reported that one of the buildings was available to any charity that could put it to good use. Rhodes sent his idea to city officials, and they offered him the building. With the help of donated services from people in the area, people like plumbers, electricians, and painters, Rhodes opened the New Haven Family Center in 1993. It's helped many families start a new life by providing clothes, food, and job training. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
It's the day.
was Spirit by our friend Marty Rotella. I'm Gary Zimek. You were listening to Spirit in the Morning. A few weeks back on the show, we were privileged to have Dr. Kevin Vost with us to talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, he has a new book out, The Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, Every Spiritual Warrior's Guide to God's Invincible Gifts. I think this is the best book that I have seen on the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we have Kevin back to continue our discussion. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for your kind words.
It's a really a great book, and this is the type of book, and I mentioned this the last time you were on the program, that I've been looking for years, because I never fully understood the Holy Spirit and His gifts. So thank you for writing the book.
Oh, you're most welcome. And of course, it was a blessing to me to pull this information out from the great tradition of our church, including people like St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, yeah, and you do a great job with it. So let's continue our discussion from last time. We talked about the Holy Spirit and His gifts, that we first received them at baptism, which I think is a little-known fact. Not everybody realizes that. And they're strengthened at confirmation. So, Kevin, my question to you would be, if I already have these gifts, why do I have to do anything? And if I have these gifts and I have the Holy Spirit living within me, why do I still sin?
Okay, those are great questions. Good questions. And I'll start with a very simple analogy.
Yeah.
Thomas Aquinas himself sometimes equated fitness and physical strength to virtue, you know, and spiritual strength. So as a weightlifter, let me give you a very simple example. Let's say when you're young, someone gives you a simple plastic-filled little barbell set.
Right.
And then you get older and more mature, and someone gives you one of these, you know, 310-pound great, you know, solid steel Olympic lifting barbell sets. And by the time you're a young adult, you say, hey, you know, I've had these barbell sets since I was a kid. Well, how come I'm not big and strong? You know, and you might say to that person, well, did you use them? Did you learn how they work? And then did you actually put them in, you know, into use so you would become big and strong? And this is just setting up a direct quote from St. Bonaventure himself, if I could read this. That those who wish to have strong arms must give themselves to hard work. In a similar way, those who wish to have grace that strengthens them must give themselves to the practice of the virtue. The apostle states, and here he's talking about St. Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then he adds, I have labored more than all the others. So these great gifts are capacities that the Holy Spirit just gives us gratuitously, but then it is up to us to learn about them and to exercise them by practicing virtues and trying to maximize these great gifts.
That's such an important concept, because a lot of times we may think, well, I have all the gifts. Why do I need to do anything else? But it's a matter of using them, correct?
That is right. And also, you know, well, why do I still sin? Of course, we still have our fallen, you know, human nature as well. So it's a daily struggle, you know, as it was for St. Paul. But these are the special aids that the Holy Spirit gives us, that if we think about them, make ourselves aware of them, learn about them more, you know, they can help us in this daily battle against sin.
And I think it's so important for us to understand that, to number one, take comfort in the fact that, yeah, we have these gifts, and the Holy Spirit, He's inside of me. That is a great blessing, but now I need to do something with that. And that's why I think it's great that we're talking in depth about some of these gifts. I think this is so important, and so many of the listeners can really benefit from this. Now, if you could, last time we briefly talked about, and I want to get the wording right on this because I don't know if I can adequately represent what's really taking place, but I don't want to say one gift is less or more important than the next, but there is a hierarchy according to St. Thomas Aquinas. Is that correct?
Yes, as the gifts are laid out in Isaiah verses chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, they're given in an order that starts with wisdom, and the last one is fear of the Lord. And
right.
Thomas and some of the other theologians said we can kind of look at them as like a staircase where the fear of the Lord starts us off. Scripture does say, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you kind of work your way through each of these gifts. One builds upon the other, but they're all important. They're all a part of an interconnected set that perfects all of our different capacities as human beings.
Right, and I like the way you lay them out in the book, because typically when I've seen the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're laid out from, they start with wisdom. I mean, that's typically the way I memorize them, and I think most people do. I like the way in the book you start with fear of the Lord, as if we are ascending up that staircase. And I think it flows nicely.
Yeah, thank you. And again, I'm borrowing there from some of the great, you know, theologians of our church. But I think it's a very helpful way to think that we start from our firm foundation there at fear of the Lord and kind of work our way up towards heaven with each of these gifts.
Now, with that in mind, last time you were on with us, we talked about fear of the Lord. Could you just refresh our memory about the gift of fear of the Lord and how we have the two different kinds, really a spectrum, I guess, if you will. We start with a servile fear, and then the most perfect form of the fear of the Lord is a filial fear, correct?
That's right. You know, before we, you know, turn to Christ and receive graces, we may have a worldly fear. Well, I fear I'm going to miss out on some opportunities for pleasure or not get the things I want. But then there is this, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the servile fear, the earliest form, is like a servant fear. We fear being punished by God. We don't want to sin because we don't want to get punished.
Right.
And that's a good thing. You know, when we have turned to God, we don't want eternal punishment. We don't want the negative things that come to us and others on this earth when we sin. So that's a good beginning. But the perfect fear is called the filial or a loving fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the scripture says that, you know, perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
And this is the kind of fear of God that fears to offend him because we love him so much. So the focus moves away from, oh, I don't want to get punished for the bad things I've done, to, I don't want to do bad things because they offend such a loving God. It's the same way we wouldn't want to do bad things, you know, to upset or disappoint our spouse or our children
exactly.
or our parents.
Exactly. Now, Kevin, what do I do if my fear tends to be more on the servile side and I want to move toward filial fear? Is there anything that I can do to make that happen?
Oh, you know, absolutely. There's many things. You know, one is just simply to pray for it. You know, pray to God that he can, you know, open our minds to find ways to honor him, to avoid sin, you know, in order to honor and to love him. Other ways, too, are to maybe focus a little bit less on God in terms of the potential source of punishment. Focus more on his perfect justice and his perfect mercy.
Mm.
Remembering that, you know, no matter when we do fall, when we do give into that fallen nature, you know, if we confess our sins, we open ourselves up, God is always there to give us all these graces again. So again, I would say to focus more on God, his mercy, rather than just as a potential source of punishment.
Great advice. Let's talk about the next gift of the Holy Spirit as listed in your book, the gift of piety. What is that all about?
Yeah, and this is a neat way, too. It shows that one builds upon the other. Piety comes from, related to a virtue of piety that was giving special reference to your father, your parents, and also to your own country.
Mm-hmm.
In Latin, patria was for fatherland, your country. But in this gift of the Holy Spirit, here is where we're loving God specifically as our Father. You know, not just as the Creator, the source of justice, but as our loving Father, as Christ himself told us to do. And therefore, everyone else are our brothers and sisters, you know, through God the Father. So it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that gives us a special, deeper love to God, recognizing him as a Father.
That's very important, and I think so many people don't see him as a loving Father. But would you say that's a process that not, yeah, I mean, that's something that evolves over time with prayer?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you know, one of the theologians said, you know, it is the gift of piety that gives us the taste for prayer.
Mm.
You know, we recognize God as Father, so we want to communicate. We want to talk with our Father so that over time, you know, when we do open up to prayer, even if we're just starting in prayer and it feels awkward or we're stumbling, you know, like a child when they're first speaking to their parents. But yes, through that practice, we become closer and closer to God as that gift of piety flowers in us.
And that's a beautiful concept, and I think one that Jesus really emphasized, and I think there was, he did a great deal to explain that you have a Heavenly Father, and I'm here to tell you about him. I think if we grow closer to Jesus, part of that is we're going to understand the concept that our Heavenly Father really loves us.
Oh, absolutely. When Jesus tells us, you know, we must become like children,
mm-hmm.
and when he first teaches us to pray, the very first two words are, our Father.
Mm. Mm, that's beautiful. Now, Kevin, you know, I love these segments, but there's a problem with these segments that you and I have been doing. There's so much here that we need to bring you back again. I mean, would you come back again, because we're just about out of time, and continue to walk through these gifts one by one?
Oh, let me think about that. Yes.
Good answer. Not to put you on the spot or anything. I really think it's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit is just not some vague concept. And so that we feel really empowered, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us.
Yeah, absolutely. We can feel that deep sense of gratitude that we are given such wonderful gifts.
Now, where can we follow you online if we'd like to find out more or maybe purchase the book?
Sure. Well, my own website is drvost.com, drvost.com. I don't sell them there, but you can get them through your Catholic bookstores and internet sites.
Excellent. Excellent. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us again. We're going to have you back probably next week if we can set it up, all right?
Great. I'll be looking forward to it.
All right, brother. God bless you. Dr. Kevin Vost. I'm Gary Zimek. We'll be right back.
This is why we're staying. Love is what we come here for. The kind that won't be paid.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the morning with Gary Zimek.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low. Faith in gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands.
Carrie Underwood, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Boy, that's a great message. If you're struggling with any problems in your life today, give him a chance to take over. Say, Lord, I give this to you. I surrender to you, Jesus. You start doing that every day, you're going to feel a lot more peace in your life. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for joining us today. Let me do the weather report. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 33 degrees. Today, we have a chance of snow before noon, then a chance of snow showers, mainly between noon and 5 p.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 41. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 26. Tomorrow, a chance of snow before 10 a.m., then rain and snow between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., then rain likely after 11 a.m. It's going to be cloudy overall with a high near 42. Currently at our Doylestown studios, it's 30 degrees. In Westchester, it's 28 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, it is 32 degrees. All right, it is time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today we go back to the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verse 7. And incidentally, all these verses that I'm using, they come from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. If you want to find out more information about it, I have these daily Bible verses with meditations. Check out my website, followingthetruth.com. Here it is. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Oh, come on, Gary. What does that have to do with anxiety? Well, here's the deal. The prophet Elijah was sent by the Lord to go to a particular place. And what the Lord did was he gave him drinking water from this brook. But the brook dried up. And then after that, the Lord came to Elijah, and he said, Elijah, I need you to go to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. And he commanded a widow to feed the prophet there. This is important. I'll tell you why. In our lives, the Lord speaks in many different ways. He speaks through Scripture. He speaks in the silence of our heart. And he speaks through circumstances. Elijah was being led by the Lord. The Lord needed him in a different place. So what did he do? He dried up his drinking water supply, and then he sent him somewhere else. Note also that the drinking water dried up before Elijah got his next mission. Why does this make sense, or why does this matter to you? It matters because you might have something in your life right now that you are completely stressed out about. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe your husband or your wife lost a job. Maybe you have an illness in your life. Maybe you're having financial problems. Whatever it is, you're looking at the problem and you're saying, Lord, why are you doing this to me? He might not reveal his ultimate plan right away. He might want you to get closer to him through prayer. The point is, trust him in all circumstances. And if you don't trust him, say, Lord, I don't trust you. Can you help me to trust you more? Mm-hmm. Speaking from personal experience, a little over 5 years ago, I got laid off for the first time in 30 years. My drinking water supply dried up, Dave Parker.
It went away.
Yeah, it was gone. Mm-hmm. And that security, you know, we talk about becoming too attached to the things of the world. Obviously, we need money to get by, but sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is still in charge, even though it mm-hmm. doesn't look like it. Mm-hmm. My initial reaction was panic.
Yes.
But then that launched my career as mm-hmm. a full-time Catholic evangelist. Mm-hmm. You just never know. Looking back, I say, wow, what a great blessing.
Yeah, now your brook is flowing, brother.
Right,
yeah.
But we don't always see it at the time. And I'm
exactly.
sure, Dave, you've seen things in
oh,
your
absolutely.
Life.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it over the course of my life. And when I was in the military, certain things would happen, mm-hmm. you know, that, oh, why didn't that happen? It should have happened. I was up for whatever. And I've seen other people, they were thinking they were going to get a promotion and they got passed over, as they say.
Right.
Yeah, it happens.
And if it's part of the plan. And that's what we need to remember, that God is all powerful. If he's allowing something to happen in your life, there's a reason, and that is an expression of his love somehow. Yeah, I know, it's hard to get, but look at Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. The Son of God was sent to live among us, to be humiliated, to be rejected by so many people, and ultimately to be nailed to a cross and die. What good can come out of that? Well, our redemption came out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of the plan. So I'm not saying it's easy.
Look at how our Lord suffered. I mean, we suffered, but nothing to that level. I mean, that was the ultimate suffering.
It's not easy. But what I ask you is to just try to get close to Jesus and let him work in your life, and it'll begin to gradually make sense. That's the purpose of this show. We're trying to help you and Jesus grow closer to one another. Now, with that in mind, I want to close with a bit of a lengthier prayer today, but I think this is so special as you go throughout the day. This is a prayer written by St. Padre Pio. It's called Stay With Me, Lord. Let's do that now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Stay with me, Lord, for it's necessary to have you present so that I do not forget you. You know how easily I abandon you. Stay with me, Lord, because I am weak and I need your strength, that I may not fail so often. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my life, and without you, I am without meaning and hope. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my light, and without you, I am in darkness. Stay with me, Lord, to show me your will. Stay with me, Lord, so that I can hear your voice and follow you. Stay with me, Lord, for I desire to love you evermore and to be in your company always. Stay with me, Lord, if you wish me to be always faithful to you. Stay with me, Lord, for as poor as my soul is, I wish it to be a place of consolation for you, a dwelling of your love. Stay with me, Jesus, for it's getting late. The days are coming to a close and life is passing. Death, judgment, and eternity are drawing near. It's necessary to renew my strength so that I will not stop along the way. And for that, I need you. It is getting late and death approaches. I fear the darkness, the temptations, the dryness, the cross, the sorrows. Oh, how I need you, my Jesus, in this night of exile. Stay with me, Jesus, because in the darkness of this life, with all its dangers, I need you. Help me to recognize you as your disciples did at the breaking of the bread, so that the Eucharistic communion be the light which disperses the darkness, the power which sustains me, the unique joy of my heart. Stay with me, Jesus. I do not ask for divine consolations because I do not deserve them, but I only ask for the gift of your presence. Oh, yes, Lord, I ask this of you. Grant that I may love you with all my heart while on earth, so that I can continue to love you perfectly throughout all eternity, dear Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I know it's a bit of a longer prayer, but I thought sometimes we just need to remember that. Let's just ask him to stay with us throughout the day. He is with you. You know, as I always say at the end of the show, just turn around and say hi. He's with you no matter where you are. And we're going to be, God willing, with you here tomorrow. I always like to say God willing because we never know for sure, but we intend to be here, right, Dave?
Yes, I intend to be here.
Tomorrow on the show, a favorite of the Holy Spirit Radio listening family, Dr. Ray Guarendi will join us.
All right.
Wednesday, another favorite, Jeanette Benkovic will be with us. And Thursday, yet another favorite, Colleen Kelly Mast will be here. Yes. And then on Friday, we've got our doubleheader. I'll tell you more about that as we go forward. But we'll be joined by Father Jeffrey Kirby, who was on with us before. We got him back. And also Dan Burke, who joined us last week. He's going to begin a weekly segment on prayer. If you struggle sometimes to learn how you to know how you should pray or how you can improve your prayer life, you want to check this out. So that's going to be on Friday as well. We got a great week planned for you, plus more information about Catholic Schools Week. Thank you for tuning in. Please keep us in your prayers. And always remember that wherever you go, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.